episode number 63 of the Mitch and Nils Bull Show. We're not experts, we're not insiders, we're not journalists, but we are two and sometimes three guys that love talking about your Chicago Bulls. I Nils up in a new Bugatti. My name is Nils, and you've reached this week's final episode of the Starting Five. Five pods in 5 days to get you ready for the upcoming Bulls season. Somehow, we made it. And unlike Hashtag The Return, we did not falsely advertise this week. We're delivering five pods just like we said. I'm once again without my homies Mitch and E. We're giving them the night off to have them fully rested and ready for Tuesday night's big regular season opener against the Heat. But fear not, because I will be joined shortly by Agri Sam of Comcast Sportsnet, and we're bringing home the preseason title. Agri rounds out our lineup of the starting five. He's coming on to talk about Derrick Rose being possibly better than ever, a Bulls injury report, unfortunately already, new offensive schemes, and some reported front office tension. A little-known Bulls show trivia fact. Agri actually ties Doug Tonis for the most guest spots in the Bulls show's short history. And speaking of trivia, I don't know if you guys have heard, but we're hosting a Bulls team trivia contest on Monday, October 28th at 7 p.m. at State Bar in Lincoln Park, and we hope to see you there. All right, before we get to Agri, can't forget to check out all our affiliate sites at BullsPodcasters.com, GoWhereHipHop.com, ShySaySports.com, and Bloggable.com. And don't sleep on our own site, that'd be TheBullsShow.com. I hear the NBA GM survey has TheBullsShow.com as the overwhelming favorite to have a breakout season this year. All right, well, all jokes aside, on the other side of the drop, our good friend, Agri Sam, Bull Show. Oh, oh, luxury. Chitty ching ching, could buy anything, cop that. Oh, oh, color greens, 30 degrees low, make it hot for me, drop that. Oh, 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 damn, yeah, shit, drink, shit, stop this, yeah, yeah, with the shit, hey. Oh, 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 damn, with the shit. Joining me on the phone is Bulls beat writer for Comcast Sportsnet, Agri Sam. Agri, welcome back to the Bulls Show. How's it going?
Pretty good. How's it going? Thanks for having me again.
Of course, of course. Are you ready for the season to start?
I mean, it's camp is right now, so to me, it's already like mid-season, maybe playoff atmosphere if you go by the other night against the Pacers. But yeah, definitely ready for the regular season to begin. Obviously here in Chicago, it's going to be a great season with Derek being back and all the expectations. But across the league, I think it's just going to be a fantastic year, so I'm definitely excited.
A lot of optimism. So let's start with your post on CSNChicago.com last night after the Bulls' preseason win in your favorite place, Wichita, Kansas, against the Thunder. You know, you had some pretty insightful and entertaining quotes from Tibbs and teammates on Derrick Rose being better than before, crazy as it sounds. Tibbs was quoting his own proverbs. Boozer revealed Rose had a sore elbow. But what is it specifically about Derrick Rose's game that you've noticed since training camp started that has vastly improved?
Just his focus. I mean, obviously, you know, Derrick is older now, too. I mean, he's a father, and then after going through what he went through last season, you know, I think he just has kind of a different perspective on things. And not that Derrick wasn't a hard worker before, but you know, more of a focused approach to what he wants to get accomplished on the court. I mean, I know a lot of people criticized, obviously, his decision to not play last season. And, you know, regardless of what side you are on, judging by how he's playing right now, I don't think we can argue with the results, you know, even if you think, okay, he could have come last season. And just seeing that manifested on the court, you know, him justifying, you know, the weight. And, you know, he's gotten stronger noticeably. And I don't want to say he's gotten faster, but with that added strength, I mean, he's just, like, so explosive going to the basket, finishing through contact. The shooting ability is there. And I know a lot of people have criticized Derrick saying that he's not a pure point guard. I saw him play Simeon, you know, obviously at Memphis where he was more of a distributor. I see those playmaking instincts really manifesting themselves too. But he's doing things, and I don't want to say the pick-and-choose thing, like he's not playing hard, but he's almost deciding, okay, this is the approach I'm going to take tonight, or this is the approach I'm going to take during this stretch of the game. And that level of focus and drive and just willing, you know, imposing his will on opponents, you know, it's pretty special right now, especially when you consider he's just 25 years of age and obviously with jump shot too. I do think that he's a better player. It's hard to kind of put a finger on, but it's almost like, you know, this is Chicago. Michael Jordan did some spectacular things, arguably more exciting on the court when he was a young player. Mm-hmm. But as he got older, I mean, just the level of focus is what made him special. And I think a similar thing is happening with Derek.
Are the rumors true that he's added 5 inches to his vertical?
I haven't seen that yet. I mean, we have to see, you know, one of the trading posters nations. Hopefully Goran Dragic will not be the guy again. But I do see, you know, just that strength with his explosiveness and his athleticism that wasn't there before. I mean, he's always a powerful guy, but now it's weight room strength, not just natural strength. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I don't think Derek is really focusing on, you know, all the aerial exploits. You know, if he does it, he does it. It's just mm-hmm. more about being a technician out there.
Yeah, you mentioned his revamped focus. Is it fair to say that this upcoming season is the Derek Rose Revenge Tour?
To a degree, you know, I've seen that, you know, buzzing on Twitter and on different blogs here and there. To a degree, I don't think it's so much where I want to take things out on, you know, Indiana tonight or Miami tonight. I think it's just an overall, you know, people doubted me type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to prove it to them. And we saw that a couple years ago with his MVP season, and whether he created that in his mind or not, the whole why not me thing, it's a similar kind of approach in my opinion. But at the same time, you know, we know he's a team first guy, and I think a lot of it is, you know, this is what my team needs me to do to win the championship. I'm going to do everything it takes. And, right. You know, that kind of spreads, trickles down to, you know, everybody on the team.
You know, in my opinion, last night, Derek seemed, he was noticeably and uncharacteristically a bit more demonstrative at times. On television, it looked like he was chirping with Reggie Jackson a bit. He even threw, you know, three fingers up after draining a couple threes. Was there anything in particular that set him off?
I don't think so. I think, you know, maybe Durant being on the court, a guy that, you know, he's friends with off the court, obviously a peer, you know, one of the high-level young guys in the league. You know, I think that might have motivated him a little bit. But I don't think there was any one thing that set him off. He definitely wasn't angry or anything like that after the game or even before the game. I think, you know, he was just, you know, hyped up for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it was something where, you know, already Jackson disrespected me at some point. I think he just, you know, continuing, as you said, the Derrick Rose Revenge Tour, and you know, the Thunder just happened to be the latest victim.
Well, you know, last night was obviously just a preseason game, but there was some concern, at least on the Twitterverse, over Tibbs leaving his starters in late last night, especially when Scott Brooks pulled Durant and the rest of the guys, or at least his first unit, who was available for the Thunder. You know, was there any reaction from the locker room because of Tibbs' decision? Will Tibbs' minutes management this season, or lack thereof, is that going to change at all?
No, I don't think that anyone in the locker room at this point is surprised by, you know, how Tibbs manages minutes, whether it's the preseason, the conference finals, or anything in between at this point. I mean, it does stand out a little bit when it's a non-Frank Vogel head coach who's mm-hmm. also, you know, keeping his starters in the game
right.
In the preseason.
Tibbs doesn't look as crazy.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's two maniacs out there, you know?
Right.
But I think though, at this point, you know, everybody on the Bulls, you know, especially guys who have been there and, you know, rookies and guys like Mike Dunleavy, who, you know, he's starving for, you know, playoff success, you know, they just kind of fall in line. You know, if Tibbs is going to have this approach, you know, we're going to play every game like it's the finals, and we expect to be, you know, at a NBA finals level from day one of the season, I don't think guys can argue with it, because at least he's consistent. You know, he's not a guy that, you know, in the preseason, okay, I'm going to play all these guys, and, you know, later on, I'm going to have a Greg Popovich approach and rest people, you know, strategically in regular season games. If he does that, I'd be shocked. That's when the surprise would come in. Yeah. But, no, I don't think so. And I'll tell you this. I mean, you know, I probably need to get him a shade on the record. Derek is so bluntly correct. But, mm-hmm. you know, that Indiana game when he came back in the fourth quarter, Derek, I've been told, Derek wanted to come back in. You know, he wanted to be in, you know, one of those close game situations. Right. And, you know, people, I'm sure, are up in arms about, you know, why are you risking his health again? You know, doesn't this remind you of when he first got hurt and everything? But, you know, arguably, the fact that he's, you know, a fourth quarter guy, a closer, you know, you want him to get those reps, even in a meaningless game, just to get familiar again with having to close out teams and, you know, put the Bulls on his back when it counts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm somebody who's been saying, you know, since, you know, the offseason, hey, it's going to be easier. You know, Derek's not going to have to do as much. This is true. I do believe that. I mean, you're someone balancing that starting five with scoring ability. But when it comes down to it, Derek is going to have the ball in his hands. So, you know, why not get him used to it now? And I don't see anyone complaining.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. I just was making sure that there wasn't a preseason title that we weren't aware about.
No. Although I think that the motivation for Tibbs personally is can't let Brian Shaw get a win on me, you know, for tomorrow night. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the Bulls are still on pace to go 90-0, preseason and regular season included. So we'll
106-0.
Okay, we're in the playoffs now too. So moving on to the regular season, which of course starts on Tuesday, primetime, national television on TNT, the Heat's ring night. And unfortunately, we already need an injury report. So could you tell us what's the status of Joakim Noah and Kirk Heinrich, and what are the odds that either plays opening night?
Kirk, surprisingly, even though he has a shoulder injury that went unreported previously, I did see him with a wrap on his arm, and I wasn't sure what it was associated with, but he was with the training staff. We couldn't ask him about it at the time. He's a little bit ahead of Joe, did a little bit more shooting, according to Tibbs. You know, still didn't get any contact and wants to play tomorrow night. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I do think Kirk will be in the lineup by Tuesday against Miami.
Is there a muscle or ligament that Kirk hasn't injured since he's been on the Bulls?
No, I think he's trying to run the gamut at this point. I mean, I'm joking right now, but, you know, Kirk, you know, he's not a demonstrative guy unless you test him. But, I mean, he's tough as nails.
Right.
I really don't think – I mean, people look at it like, oh, he's fragile, he's always getting hurt. But the guy plays through all kinds of injuries. And to be honest with you, I mean, I've gained so much respect for Kirk in the last year. You know, my first year on the beat – was Kirk's last year in Chicago. And from then to now, just seeing what the guy goes through, how much better the team functions when he's on the court, I sound like Tibbs right now. But I've just gained a tremendous respect for the guy. And I do expect him to play Tuesday night.
Well, it sounds ridiculous, but there is some truth to the fact that the reason why Kirk Heinrich gets injured all the time is because he does play really hard. I mean, that's the reason why I don't get hurt, because I don't play defense. So
Kirk has no off switch, you know. That's the thing. I mean, this is a guy. It's funny, when we asked him about the concussion, when he first talked about that, it's like, Kirk, have you ever had a concussion before? Yeah. Well, what level, college or, you know, the NBA? Both. You know, and I'm sure if we asked him high school or grade school, you know, church league, CYO basketball, he probably had one back then too. The guy, you know, he has almost a football mentality out there, tough as nails. I mean, we saw last season with his open field tackle of LeBron in transition that, you know, he's not afraid of anybody. And, you know, guys on the team, you see that respect level that they have for him. And, you know, I'm definitely not doubting that. As for Joakim, it's a little bit different. Obviously, he's only played in one preseason game. As Tibbs likes to remind the media, he's only played 19 minutes this entire preseason. And, you know, one gets the feeling that Tibbs isn't completely happy with Joe not practicing and not playing in these games and everything. But I think Joe, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, he's being cautious, but he's also almost self-managing himself, because we also know that Joe is a guy that will play through injuries, even though they're lingering. We see him dragging his leg around, you know, when he had the plantar fasciitis and other injuries. And I think at this point he realizes, hey, you know, I need to be good for the end of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, this preseason championship we're playing for, you know, it's not that important, you know.
Got to take a look at the bigger picture.
Exactly, which is what I think Derek did last year. And, you know, again, I don't want to make it sound like there's any kind of rift with Tibbs or anything like that, but, you know, I think these guys are realizing, hey, you know, we need to know, protect ourselves, because playing for this guy, we're so motivated to play so hard, and this is our style of play. This is what our trademark is. You know, if I have to be a little bit more cautious, you know, I'm willing to do that. So I think there's, you know, there are less odds that Joe plays in the regular season opener. But if he can get some contact practices in, I would not be shocked. Just seeing him work out, you know, pregame, you know, whether it's shooting around, you know, post moves, you know, Tim's used the word deconditioned, which is the first for me hearing a coach say that about a player. But I don't think that's all the way there. And we know, again, going back to last year's Brooklyn series, after he missed significant time at the end of the regular season, Joe is somebody that, even if the timing isn't there, the activity level, the energy will still be there, even if he gets a little bit tired. So I wouldn't be shocked. Long answer, I wouldn't be shocked if he played, but I think Kirk is much more likely to play in the regular season opener.
Yeah, if Joe Kim doesn't play in Miami, they better keep him in the locker room, because I could see him going nuts seeing LeBron get his ring.
I'll tell you this from the preseason opener in Indy. I mean, he was talking so much trash to the Pacers. And even the last game at the United Center. And obviously, this is a team that he doesn't have a lot of fondness for, just like the Heat. So, yeah, it could get pretty ugly. I mean, we saw the crazy lady heckling him last year in the playoffs. So, you know, something like that could definitely happen again. So I'd like to see him out there, so at least he could be taking it out on opposing players and not fans, or talking while he's in street clothes.
Yeah, I wonder if that crazy lady is going to be back on Tuesday. We'll see.
I don't know.
So much has been made about this new Bulls offense. You know, apparently it allows more creativity and mimics the Spurs a little bit, or so I've read. And we've seen that come to fruition with their ball movement, their spacing. What can you tell us about it, and how have the players responded?
Well, it definitely has some elements of the Spurs system. Some of the read and react stuff. Well, what I like most about it is how, and we haven't gotten to see Joe in it so much, but how it allows guys like Carlos, Joe, to operate from the high post. I mean, even Taj and Nazi, who aren't, you know, the gifted passers, Carlos and Joe are. I know people don't like Carlos a lot in Chicago, but the guy is a really underrated passer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I like the fact that it gets Derek off the ball a little bit, takes advantage of cutting ability of Jimmy and Lou, and we're seeing Lou in the post a little bit more, too. So since, you know, he has his reference, a strictly defensive coach, and the Bulls aren't having the most creative offense, I give him a ton of credit, especially, you know, being around Coach K and USA Basketball, and really, like, studying, okay, with a full complement of players, Derek being back, you know, how can we diversify things from the offensive end? I really enjoy, you know, watching it develop, and I know they're nowhere near, it's not a finished product with so many guys, you know, being out. It's still just the preseason, but I really like the possibilities. Now, that being said, I think at the end of games, you know, in crunch time, when it's the playoffs or against, you know, or a late regular season game against, you know, a team like the Heat or the Pacers, even like the Spurs or Thunder, you know, you're going to see a lot of that high pick and roll action with Derrick Rose. You know, that's their bread and butter. The NBA is such a point guard heavy league,
right.
Pick and roll heavy league. I could see them reverting to that. And the way Derrick's playing, I couldn't argue with it. But just having, you know, the option for, you know, this continuity in the half court and guys really, you know, taking advantage of some of their overlooked strengths, I really enjoy watching it.
Yeah, and the Bulls finally have, you know, a decent amount of shooters that can space the floor. So that'll be fun to watch. One of those shooters would be Tony Snell. And to a lesser extent, Eric Murphy. We've seen a lot of these rookies play in the preseason. What are the odds that either of those guys crack the rotation this year?
I would say slim. I mean, we know that Tibbs is a guy that pretty much, I like to say, redshirts rookies. I mean, we saw it with Jimmy, last year with Marcus, and there's no guarantee Marcus cracks the rotation this year, but definitely in your first year in the Tibbs, you know, you're probably going to be tasked with learning the system, you know, learning to be a professional is what he likes to say. And I can't see those guys. I mean, Tony, I think he has a really intriguing skill set and a bright future, but, you know, if you have a wing rotation of Lou, barely ever comes off the court. Jimmy, who we've seen, you know, has the capability of playing big minutes. Then Mike Dunleavy, a proven veteran, who is a floor spacer, you know, something that the Bulls need. And Kirk, they can play the two. I don't see where there's room for him to get regular minutes in the rotation. Eric Murphy, I know he's a second-round pick, and some people overlook him. But I think that his potential as a stretch four, something the Bulls have not had under Chiz, a pure stretch four, you know, gives him a chance.
Vladimir Radmanovich would like to have a word with you.
Well, Vladimir Radmanovich retired after his one season with the Bulls, so I mean that tells you everything. he lost his passion for basketball after playing for Tibbs. No, I'm joking. Vlad, if you're listening, you know I miss you. But Eric Murphy, I think, you know, also one thing that people don't talk about, and I probably shouldn't be sharing this, somebody's going to steal this angle, Frank Catapano is one of Eric Murphy's agents. I mean, that name probably means nothing to a lot of people, mm-hmm. but he is the guy that introduced Tibbs to Phil Musselman. He's a New England-based basketball agent, and just that connection, I think, gives Eric Murphy a little bit of a chance because Tibbs, if anything, is loyal and remembers people that helped him out early in his career.
Wow.
But I think Murphy, the fact that, you know, he's a Florida guy, you know, he knew Joe coming in, you know, and he's a worker. He understood, like, hey, I have these weaknesses. I have to work on them. But the one thing that I do well, you know, might get me on the court in the future. So you might see him in certain situations. But both of them, Snell and Murphy, I don't anticipate them being in rotation this year. But I think they have a future in Chicago if they continue to work hard, especially Tony with his defensive ability.
I appreciate the exclusive breaking Eric Murphy news.
No problem.
I don't think you have to worry about too many people stealing that angle. I don't know how many listeners we actually have, but
Friedel is listening right now. I got to work on the story as soon as we get off the phone. KC too.
Well, if there is one dark cloud hanging over this upcoming season, probably the most anticipated since the Jordan years, it's the speculated rift between Gar Foreman and Tom Thibodeau. Being around the players, the coaching staff, even sometimes the front office, how real is this tension? How worried should Bulls fans be?
I mean, I don't think it's a secret that, you know, they're not the best of friends. But, I mean, this is Chicago. I don't remember, and I wasn't here. I wasn't covering the NBA at that time. But I'm fairly positive. In fact, I bet money on it. I bet my firstborn on this that Phil Jackson and Jerry Krause were not the best of friends either. In fact, I can remember Phil Jackson pretty much leaving because of the Jerry Krause situation.
I feel like this has been documented in books.
Yes. A guy I know, Samuel Smith, you know, he wrote something about that once upon a time. So, you know, Phil and Jerry weren't the best of friends, and they won six championships together. I don't think this guard chip thing, as long as the team is winning, you know, is going to, you know, have seismic after effects where, you know, Derek goes into hiding because he doesn't want to be around either guy. You know, he doesn't want to choose sides or something. So, you know, I know it's been talked about a lot. And again, I don't think they're the best of friends, but I think they can work together because one thing I will say about the Bulls, from management to the coaching staff to all the players, they all have a singular goal of winning. There's not a guy on that roster that doesn't want to win more than, you know, get personal glory. And I think the front office and coaching staff is the same way. I mean, these are guys that are very workmanlike. And Gar, I know he's been criticized, you know, for different moves and everything. But he's also the guy who assembled this roster. Yeah, some of it is Derrick Rose being that good, but give him credit for Jimmy Butler. Give him credit for Taj Gibson. You know, people can knock Carlos all they want, but, you know, if Amari Stoudemire was here, I don't know how many people would be too happy about that. So, you know, Gar, you know, he's done his job. He's won an executive of the year. You know, Tibbs, he's done his job, one of the best coaches in the NBA. And if they continue to succeed together, you know, this rift will be something that, you know, will be a thing of the past. You know, nobody's going to be monitoring, you know, if they're holding hands, you know, while eating pregame meals.
Right. It seems like they obviously have the same goal, just different approaches, different strategies, if you will.
Just different personalities, you know, more than anything else. I mean, they're guys that come from different backgrounds. I mean, Gar was a coach, but, you know, just different backgrounds, different personalities. And, you know, I think maybe there's not always an appreciation for some of the things that the other does, but there is an appreciation for the fact that, hey, you know, Gar assembled this roster. Tibbs gets to coach these guys. You know, Tibbs, you know, he's coaching the hell out of the team that Gar assembled. So, you know, again, you know, that kind of happy medium. As long as the team is doing well and winning, I think that overshadows, you know, a lot of this so-called tension between the two. And, you know, not to say that Derrick Rose is going to save their relationship, like some kind of marriage counselor or something, but him being back, you know, makes you forget about a lot of the, you know, things you don't like about the other guy.
Right. Derrick Rose and winning cures all.
Exactly.
So we'll wrap things up with this. Give us your prediction for the season. How does it end?
Again, like I always have to say this as a disclaimer because I don't want people to say I'm a homer. I'm not from Chicago. Didn't grow up loving the Bulls. I actually like the Bad Boy Pistons more than the early Jordan teams. But I think, I don't know, just a feel thing. I think that this could be the year, you know, and it, not just, you know, Dwayne Wade's health and everything else. I just see Miami as, you know, I don't see them as a, you know, three-peat type of team, you know, and with LeBron James, it's hard to say that about somebody, but about a team, but I just don't see it. And I don't think the Pacers are better than the Bulls. Derek being the X factor the Pacers can't match up with. I think this could be the year. I think whoever comes out of the East is going to win the whole thing. I don't see any team in the West, barring, you know, some blockbuster trade, winning it. I'm going to say that the Bulls end up with the parade on Michigan Avenue, and the guard chip beef is gone. People forget about hating Reggie Rose and everything is good in Chicago.
I am digging your optimism and outlook. We're going to have to figure out a postseason party. Let's start planning now. You're the third person that's made a guest spot on the show this week who's predicted the Bulls will win the title, and I hope all of you are correct.
Who are the other two?
Brian Crawford and Ricky O'Donnell.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm going to change my pick. I'm joking.
I was about to say, you're in good company.
No, I like those guys. Yeah. I just see it happening. I mean, again, no, it's not any one thing. I mean, Derek obviously being back, but it's just a feel thing. You know, I feel like, you know, this whole regular season stuff, you know, they're kind of over that. I mean, I do think they're going to finish with the best record in the East, regardless of winning a championship, because Tip pushed them so much. But I just have a feel that, you know, the adversity they've been through, you know, Derek's, you know, maturity after having to take a year off, the development of some of the other guys, and, you know, just that feeling that the core could be, you know, gone, dispersed after this season, you know, I think it's going to kind of give them that sense of urgency. And, you know, what team matches up better with the Heat, and that's what you have to beat to win the championship.
Absolutely. Well, Agri, on behalf of Bulls fans around the world, I hope you're right. And we'll let you go off on that note. Again, thank you so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have you talking shop about the Bulls and sharing your insight and analysis. For those listening, make sure you catch Agri on Twitter at CSN Bulls Insider. Also, check out all of his work on CSNChicago.com. Agri, it was a pleasure, and we'll hope to catch up with you during the season.
Thanks again. Always love coming on the show.
All right. Take care.